You give me everything. That is our prayer and our thanksgiving this morning. We turn to the scripture now that comes from the word that we call the Sermon on the Mount. We are told at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, we hear that when Jesus saw the crowd, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, and then we have these chapters that give us this teaching of Jesus. And he talks what we know as the Beatitudes, and he talks about anger, and he talks about treasure. And in the passage we hear now, Jesus speaks to his disciples about worry. So I read to you from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink or what will we wear? For it's the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for your word to us, disciples in this day. Open us to the possibility, to the possibilities of new life in you this day. Reveal your word. Amen. A few things need to be said before we look a little closer at this passage this morning. A few words about worry. First of all, for those of us who are worriers, this includes me, these words of Jesus are not meant to be a condemnation. I want you to hear that. These words are not words of condemnation. In fact, I believe that they are the opposite. They are to be comforting and encouraging and, yes, correcting. You are not a bad Christian if you worry. If Jesus was speaking about this almost 2,000 years ago now, he was doing so because it seems to be part of our human condition, right? There's something to this that's part of our human condition. And note, and I can't emphasize this enough as I talk about the teachings of Jesus, he's speaking to his disciples. They're people that are already in. This is not the outsider out there. He's talking to those who he's called and who have chosen to follow him. He must know they worry, or he wouldn't have to talk about it, right? And then, sometimes our worry is more than we can handle alone. Sometimes it's pervasive anxiety that takes over. Sometimes we need someone to talk to, family, friend, pastor, counselor, doctor. And some kinds of anxiety is caused by a chemical imbalance, something in us, and we could benefit from medication. I do not believe that that is outside the will of God when we need treatment for something. So, I say all of this because in my years of ministry and in my own personal life, I know that there are persons who have felt an incredible amount of guilt over their worry. If I was a better Christian, if I was more faithful, I wouldn't worry. I know of situations where another person's faith has been questioned because this person was perceived as anxious. I just want to allow all of us to kind of dial it down a notch on this and be able to hear and say, yeah, I think worry and anxiety must be part of the human condition, or Jesus wouldn't have been talking about it so long ago. And that God can work in us for health and healing in multiple ways. Okay, so with that, about the larger picture of worry and anxiety, let's look at this particular passage and what it seems to be that Jesus is teaching. So Jesus, to his disciples, who again I say, he must realize that they are worried, or he wouldn't have talked about it. He talks to them about their real concrete needs, food, clothing, and would address us, our physical well-being. He asks his disciples then and now to look around. Look around. Look how God has created the world, he says. Look at the birds of the air. Even as Jen sang, even the sparrows have a nest. Even the lilies of the field, and we see so many daylilies now, right? The orange and the white and the yellow, and how beautiful God's creation is. So Jesus is telling his disciples, pay attention. Pay attention to the good care that God is giving the earth. And know that God loves and cares for you even more than the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And that passage then, well, the part that I usually read is the whole passage, concludes with this: seek first the kingdom of God and everything else. It's not that God won't provide, but seek first the kingdom of God, God's will and way in the world, and you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Now, most often, I stop reading there. I love how poetic, how lovely, how comforting this passage is. But, and, this is not the end of this passage or this teaching. The gospel writer includes that last verse, 34, that I most often like to leave out. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. In that singular verse, we go from the poetic to the practical. Right? There's this acknowledgement that today has trouble. We know it. Whether it be family troubles, health troubles, financial troubles, community troubles, there's something about today that has a trouble. Jesus is not disregarding the reality of it. But there seems to be something here that says, so if you're going to deal with today, we can't be worrying about, obsessing about tomorrow or the day after or the day after that. What happens? What happens when we pay attention to the day at hand? What happens when we pay attention to the birds of the air and the lilies of the field? And also, what would happen if we truly paid attention, not to the troubles that might happen tomorrow, but to those of today? What would happen, what happens, if we bring together what I would say is both the poetic and the practical to this passage? So I'm going to make a suggestion, and I'm personally working on this myself, I'll let you know. I'm going to make a suggestion of how we might practically deal with our worries and building up trust. So in the morning when we pray, you know, I love that little saying, it's just a little quote that says, a day hemmed in prayer is not likely to unravel. I just love that, the morning and evening prayer. So the morning, sit with God. Intentionally pray, whether that be for you a quiet prayer, a spoken prayer, a written prayer. That morning prayer that says, thank you, God, for the gift of this day, for the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And then tell God in prayer what is on your heart and mind. And yes, it is okay to use the word worried with God in prayer. God, this is who and what I'm worried about today. This is what is weighing on my heart, my head. These are the people I know. Dave and I do this in the morning. Every morning when we pray and we pray together, we out loud say, God, here we give you today. And we list by name everyone in our family and every one of you that has come to me with a prayer and everyone that has come to Dave with a prayer. And we say them out loud because it's a way for Dave and I to offer up the prayers of that day. And then what if we stopped? And I try to do this. I'm not always so good at it, but to say, God, is there something today that I can do to address my own issue, my own trouble, or someone else's? Is there something specific that you are asking me to do for another or for my own well-being today? And if there is, then commit to do it. But here's the hard part. I'm still working on this. And if there isn't, to leave it with God. Okay, God, you've heard my prayers for this morning. You know all these people, all these situations that I'm worried about, everything that's, I'm giving it to you because there's nothing more I can do today, right? And whatever your image in your mind, some people have literally the image of laying it at the foot of the cross or laying it at the feet of Jesus or holding it up to God. Whatever it is, to have the discipline, and it's a discipline, we have to practice it. To leave it with God. And then it gets harder. Then during the day when my mind will go back to that worry, that person, I have to remind myself, I've got to practice this. I gave it to you, God. I gave it to you. I was, this spring, someone gave me a book by June Hunt that's called How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. It's really a pretty remarkable book. And as I was thinking and praying this week with this issue, this concern about worry, I went back to some of the advice that June Hunt gave about forgiveness. And one of my very favorite lines in this whole book, and when she talks about forgiveness, and I think this is true of worry too, she said, we have to retrain our minds. We have to retrain our minds. When she offers the examples of forgiveness and how you learn to forgive, she points out, and I think this is true of myself and many, that if a harm or a difficult word has been said to you or a situation, sometimes our minds want to go back over it. We want to like dwell on it. Yeah. When she said that to me, when he did, you know, and we replay it in our minds. And so when she talks about forgiveness, she says you got to let that go. You've got to teach your mind to think in a different way. I've been thinking a lot about this week in terms of worry. Let's train our minds to be more trusting. Many of us may have grown to be thinking that how would anyone know I was concerned or cared about them if I didn't worry about them? Particularly us moms, I think, have a bent towards that. That I can best show my love by being worried. I have to retrain. I've got to retrain my mind so that I can acknowledge the worry. And then, as again June Hunt would say, use our power tools, which are thanksgiving and praise. Hunt suggests about forgiveness, she says, start with the small stuff. Start with the everyday stuff. Because once you have mastered the small acts of forgiveness, the big ones are easier. I'd say that's true of worry, too. Start working on the small parts of your life in which you might worry needlessly. And work on giving those up to God. Because then when there's something big, you've built up your trust muscles. So I'm committed to practicing this. I'm committed to it, and I'd invite you to practice again, right? If we're going to get good at things like music or sports or writing or anything, you have to practice. That's what we're going to do. We're going to practice trusting God. In the morning, offer it up. Look for ways and be open for ways that you can address the daily trouble that day. And if you can't, throughout the day, continue to say, God, I give this to you. And we remember, right, as what we sing about, that his eye is on the sparrow, for I know he watches me. It is a matter of trust.